This morning, I'd like to share with you a message based on the first reading from Romans 15, 4 to 13. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you in this Advent time with repentant and yet joyful hearts, for you have come to be our Saviour. You have liberated us and all humanity from sin, and you have joined us together by your precious blood, where you have broken down the walls of division. Lord, as we listen to this word this morning, we pray that you would help us to live and to grow in the spirit of unity that Paul talks about, singing your praises and living with joy because you have saved us. In your precious name and to your glory we pray. Amen. Now, for those of you who are old enough, I want you to think back to 1963. So who was 15 years old or older in 1963? So we have a few of you here. Good. Well, we're going to rely on you guys soon. When we have some social events at HDK, what's one thing that I'm always called upon to do? Who can tell me? Karaoke. And guess what we're going to do this morning to introduce the sermon? A little bit of karaoke. And it's just going to be 2 minutes long, so not long. And it's a very old song that we're going to sing karaoke this morning. It actually has a line in it that says, "Let's be happy and gay." And back then, the meaning of the word gay was carefree, cheerful, and bright, not what it means today. So let's all stand up and have a go at doing a little bit of karaoke. It's time for the Quicker Vickers karaoke. And we're going to join with Johnny O'Keefe in singing that good old song, Sing, Sing, Sing. Okay? And those of you who were teenagers at that time, we need you to sing nice and loud. So take it away.
Well, I can't do nothing with the blues I got but sing, sing, sing. I guess the only thing to keep me from a blowing my top is to sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna sing a little song that has a rockin' beat. I'm gonna sing, 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 sing. Let I tell of my troubles to the friends I meet. I'm gonna sing, sing, sing. Everybody sing away your troubles. Let's be happy and gay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's shout hallelujah. Sing your blues away.
Hey, 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 hey.
If you feel gotta sing, sing, sing. Cause tomorrow you'll find a love that's true. If you sing, 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 everybody sing.
Throw away your troubles. Let's be happy and gay. Let's shout hallelujah. Sing your blues away. Hey, 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 hey. If you feel downhearted, join me in my song. And tell the blues,
the blues,
so long.
Tell the blues so long.
One more time, I said
tell
the blues,
the blues,
so long.
Tell the blues so long.
And sing a song now,
tell
the blues,
the blues,
so long.
Tell the blues so long.
They give you a shoulder clap like karaoke singers. Well, the theme of my sermon this morning is sing, sing, sing. When I first looked at this text, what spoke to me most was the aspect of unity and the worship of God. So I originally chose as the theme of this sermon, worship that unites and grows God's people. While that is true, as I looked at this text more in preparation, the essence of this text is to call to do for us to do something as God's people at Advent, and that is to sing, sing, sing. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning in the message. At the end of last week's sermon, I shared with you that Advent is a season of confession, of repentance, of what we heard John the Baptist on about this morning. He was speaking of confessing your sins and turning away from sinful practices. So in action, it means that Advent is a time of self-examination, identifying those attitudes and actions that separate us one from another, from God, from family, from the church, and others. Confess and repent of them, turn away from them, and seek to live a spirit-filled life that is holy, joyful, and holistic. Now, sing, sing, sing is not about the confession of sin and repentance, but rather it's about what you do after the confession of sin and repentance. It results from the work of the God of hope in our hearts, as Paul writes at the end of the reading. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The result of the Advent God's work in our hearts is that we live lives of rejoicing and praising the Lord and singing praises him together as God's people. In other words, for us to sing, sing, sing. Now, the encouragement to live this life of rejoicing in the Lord arises from that most wonderful sentence that makes up verses 6 and 7 of our text, or 5 and 6 of our text. May the Lord who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul blesses the Roman church from whom God gives endurance and encouragement. They needed endurance and encouragement in a spirit of unity to deal with the divisions that had arisen in the church. In Romans 14, we learn that there had been a group of Christians in Rome, either because of conscience or religious conviction, did not eat meat, and they regarded one day of the week more special than any of the others. This group was referred to as the weak by the majority of the Roman Christians, because in liberty, they found in the Christian faith the fact that you could actually, in all good conscience, eat meat, and no one day was more important than the other. And Paul agreed with them that he was the same conviction of them as the majority that they call the strong. The issue was, how should they deal with this division? And Paul encouraged the majority not to try and force the weak to go against their consciences, or their beliefs, but to patiently cater for their weaknesses by not causing offence, and for them to actually lay aside the liberty to be able to eat meat when they were in their presence. Paul did not want the exercise of Christian liberty to cause those who were not as far along in their Christian journey to cause the others to stumble and fall. So the way to avoid disunity in the church is for mature Christians to set aside the right to practice the fullness of Christian freedom, and not in order not to harm or offend the weaker or more immature Christian. So what is needed at the church in Rome, and all churches in general, is encouragement to bear with the weaknesses of others and endurance not to give up on them for the sake of the spirit of unity, which is so important for us as we seek to praise and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ together. We need to always remember that unity as a church body is a gift from God, and we need to work together to maintain it. Now, this doesn't mean we surrender our diversity. What a colourless church we would be if we all thought the same or did the same and all wanted the same things. As a church, we're not an orchestra made up of one instrument playing the one note. How boring that would be. But rather, we are a diversity of instruments playing a diversity of notes to make beautiful music together to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If following Jesus is the decisive factor for the church community, then it can reach unity through diversity in Christ and therefore glorify God. You know, over the years, churches have broken and divided over various matters, from the ordination of worship to the style of worship to the colour of the new carpet in the sanctuary. All such division happens when the church takes her eyes off of Jesus, and the various groups seek to pursue getting their own way at everybody else's expense. Paul says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Paul here addresses the biggest division of the people of God throughout the ages until then. That was the division between the Jews, the people of God, and the Gentiles, all the non-Jews, who in the eyes of Jews were not the people of God. And there was a deep and bitter division on both sides. The Jews were self-righteous and arrogant, and the Gentiles felt despised and rejected. Paul points both groups in the church back to the gospel. He says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Not to do this is an affront to our Saviour who has accepted us. A congregation that is divisive and quarrelsome, contentious and judgmental, gives the world reason to ridicule Christ's church and him, Jesus Christ, who is the hope of their salvation. There are four characteristics of Christ accepting sinners, for that is what we are by nature, sinners. Firstly, he accepts sinners joyously. The three parables in Luke 15 of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son tell us this. Secondly, in spite of our sin, Jesus saves and accepts us. In Romans 5:8, Paul writes, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And thirdly, Jesus accepts sinners unequivocally. In John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. And fourthly, Christ accepts sinners to the glory of God. Because Paul says in our text, accept one another then as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Paul goes on to say, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. The whole Old Testament story forms the God-given story of how God's covenant people were called together to bring God's salvation to the good but fallen world. This necessarily involved them and would necessarily involve their ultimate representative, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in terrible suffering, standing in the place where the world and humankind in particular was in pain with its own rebellion, division, and failure. And now that the Messiah had come and had achieved what the whole Old Testament was moving towards, the Bible could not be read as a puzzling story in search of meaning, but a foundation for God's achievement in Jesus Christ. From that point, it would be an enormous encouragement to the faithful, patient Christian living. And this is why Paul begins our text with the words, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. And that hope is at the messianic work of Jesus Christ, through which God's justice and righteousness is brought to bear for all of creation. This work of Israel's Messiah brings unity then across the divisions of the world, especially the biggest one of the world at that time, the division between Jew and Gentile. The whole result of that messianic work results in the praise of God from both Jew and Gentile. Those who eat meat and those who don't eat meat. Those who worship on a Sunday, those who worship on another day of the week. Those who believe that women can be ordained and those who believe that they shouldn't. Those who like traditional liturgy and hymns and those who like modern worship and songs. Those who like blue carpet in the sanctuary and those who like green carpet in the sanctuary. All in unity, praise God together because of Christ. Now, Paul finishes off Romans 15 by quoting four Old Testament texts which draw his argument together in unity. And in these four verses, the praise of God is the central focus. The participants in each case are Jews and Gentiles. These two divisions contain all other earthly divisions. It was thought up until the time of the early church that it would be impossible to overcome this huge division between Jew and Gentile. But in Christ, and by the witness and practice of the apostles and the early church, it was shown clearly that in Christ, this division, and therefore all human divisions, can be overcome. In these four verses, Paul is saying another four things to us today. Firstly, that the combined and harmonious praise of Jews and Gentiles is God's will. It is what God purposed from eternity past. Secondly, these verses draw together an image of what heaven will be like. Prophecy will become a reality. All God's people worshiping and praising him. And thirdly, there is a description of what should be happening in the church now, in that here is the ideal for the church. Unity and harmony should be pieces of evidence of the grace of God working in our lives, the result of his work on the cross where he accepted us all. And fourthly, we must walk in love and unity and not let our convictions and personal preferences become the basis for conflict and strife. We dare not accept others in order to judge them or in order to cause them to stumble and fall. We must accept others in order to build them up in unity and harmony and praise God according to his purpose and his glory. So Advent is a season of repentance. It's time to repent of those things that are self-centered, self-deferring, and personal preference. And after confessing and repenting, take our eyes off ourselves and focus on God and his Son, Jesus Christ. For that is where our focus and attention belong. Not on getting our own way or having everyone agree with our preferences and prejudices and propping up the power of the world structures where there are winners and losers, but rather everyone living together in unity and harmony, praising God. It's not our convictions that should consume us, nor should it be the differences that we have with others. It is God and his Son, Jesus, who should consume us. So may we be caught up in him, lost in him, in his honor, glory, wisdom, and power. And as we do, songs of praise will flow from our hearts. And so it will be natural for us just to sing, sing, sing. We will sing from a heart that has been changed by God's grace. We will sing with our fellow humankind, regardless of the differences. And we will sing songs of praise to God for his marvelous and mighty and all-encompassing salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. So, to conclude, the final verse as a blessing to you this day from Paul. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for your marvelous, all-encompassing salvation. We thank you that you have touched each one of our hearts with your salvation and that you have changed us from sinners to saints. And so, Lord, let us live together the holy and renewed life in unity and harmony together as one body, praising you, worshiping you, and seeking to glorify you, God, in all of our thoughts, our words, our actions here at HDK. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen. Amen.